Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Prestige Worldwide Fantasy Football Dynasty League podcast. We've got week 13 NFL in the books, and this is the second episode of the podcast. We actually have a special guest on today, but before we get to that, I'd just like to say thank you for all the support on the first episode. Everyone reached out and they loved it, so just want to shout out everyone that tuned in and say thank you for listening. All right, let's jump right into the scores for week 13. On Thursday, the Bills beat the Patriots 24-10. The Commanders and the Giants tied 20-20. The Ravens beat the Broncos 10-9. The Steelers beat the Falcons 19-16. The Vikings beat the Jets 27-22. The Browns beat the Texans 27-14. The Lions crushed the Jaguars 40-14. The Packers beat the Bears 28-19. The Eagles beat the Titans 35-10. The Seahawks beat the Rams 27-23. The 49ers beat the Dolphins 33-17. The Bengals beat the Chiefs 27-24. The Raiders beat the Chargers 27-20. The Cowboys dominated the Colts 54-19. And then as of recording, the Monday night game has not kicked off between the Saints and the Bucks yet. But those are the scores for week 13. All right, next let's jump to some unfortunate injury news. Lamar Jackson left the game. Not much word on him yet, but and he missed a good portion of the game, and TBD on that, but it didn't look good. And then the big one of the week, unfortunately, Jimmy G, done for the season, broken foot. Really unfortunate for the 49ers, but it's just how it goes sometimes. And they'll insert rookie Brock Purdy, who is actually quite an interesting player. So I scoured the internet, found a couple fun facts about Brock Purdy, in case you didn't know. He was Mr. Irrelevant for this past 2022 NFL draft. He played at Iowa State, where he was the two-time first-team All-Big 12 quarterback. He threw for 81 touchdowns and rushed for 19 during his time at Iowa State. And prior to Iowa State, he was named the Gatorade Arizona Boys Football Player of the Year in 2017, hailing out of Perry High School. So those are just some random facts about Brock Purdy. My main goal for stating those is when you see him out there next week, I want you to think back to this podcast, because there's probably not many that are stating random facts about Brock Purdy just yet. And if we're all being honest, he was Mr. Irrelevant for the 2022 draft, and after this season's over, he'll probably just go right back to being Mr. Irrelevant for the 49ers. All right, before we get to the matchups, something I didn't do last week but I want to start doing is let's take a look at this past week's roster moves from around the league. We had Team Connor Mayette adding Jelani Woods and dropping Kenny Galladay. We had Team Liver Spotted Hands adding Pittsburgh Steelers, dropping New York Jets. He also added Devin Duvernay and dropped Matt Ryan. He added Benny Snell and dropped Atlanta Falcons. Team Boats and Hoes added Zonovan Knight from the Jets, and he dropped the Indianapolis Colts. He also added the Cleveland Browns and dropped Travis Homer. And he added Richie James and dropped Bryce Perkins. Team Mena added Jake Ferguson. He added Sam Howell and dropped Jerrion Ealy. Team Keegan added the New York Jets and dropped the New Orleans Saints. Team Mena added the Colts, dropped the Rams. Team Guild Lady added Travis Homer and dropped Connor Hayward. Team Mike Concho added Marvin Jones, dropped McCole Hardman. Team KK added Harrison Bryant, dropped Jack Stoll. Team Johnny Watts added Ty Johnson, dropped Scotty Miller. And Team Enna added Sam Howell. All right, let's get into the Week 13 matchups from around the league. First one's going to be Team Mena against Team Keegan. Team Mena will take this win. Back-to-back convincing wins for Team Mena. He'll finish around 150 points versus Team Keegan, who finishes with 86 points. Just an absolutely convincing win from Team Mena. He had Joe Burrow go for 30, 286, two touchdowns, 11 carries for 46 yards, and a touchdown on Joe Burrow. So that's pretty good. Aaron Jones, 7 points. Josh Jacobs followed up last week's massive week with another massive week. 144 on the ground, one touchdown. He did have a fumble loss, but he finished with 20 points. He had Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had an incredible week. 11 catches for 114 yards, two touchdowns. Arguably a top two or three receiver in the league right now, if you ask me. So there's that. Then he had CeeDee Lamb go for 71 and a touchdown. Pat Freiermuth at 76 yards, which is pretty huge out of a tight end. He's got Godwin going tonight, but like I said, doesn't matter. He's already won this matchup. Keenan Allen had 88 and a touchdown. And that's Team Mena. Team Keegan, he started Deshaun Watson, who was awful in his debut. You know, we'll have to see how Deshaun Watson plays out the rest of the year. Some might say the jury is still out on Deshaun Watson as to whether or not he'll be any good anymore. Kenyon Drake, 5 points. Dalvin Cook, decent day out of him, 86 and a touchdown. Jaylen Waddle, very disappointing. One catch for 9 yards. That's not like him. He had Christian Kirk, who had a decent game against the Lions, 104 yards, 13 points. Mark Andrews, 53 yards, 7 points. Terry McLaurin, big day out of him, 105 and a touchdown. And then Alan Lazard, 5 for 67. So that's that matchup. Team Mena just destroyed Team Keegan. About 150 to 86. Next matchup, Team Nighthawk against Team Liver Spotted Hands. Liver Spotted Hands is going to take this one in convincing fashion. He's going to finish around 94 points. First Team Nighthawk, who finishes with 21.5 points. As we mentioned last week, Team Nighthawk is just absolutely selling on the year, starting guys that don't even play. He's starting guys that literally no one else has ever heard of. Let's see, he started Bailey Zapp, who was on the bench. He started that Connor guy from the Jaguars that no one's ever heard of, who had one carry for 6 yards. He started David Price again, who didn't play. Brown on Washington didn't play. George Pickens, one catch, 2 yards. Great. Kmet, 72 yards out of him. That's not bad. James Mitchell didn't see the field. And Isaiah Spiller just did not see the field. Liver Spotted Hands, Mahomes, 19 points. Chubb at 80 yards on the ground. Patterson, 11 for 60. That's kind of weak out of him, but it doesn't really matter because Liver Spotted Hands just crushed Team Nighthawk. Paris Campbell, 43 yards, 6 points. Devontae Smith, big day out of him, 100 yards and a touchdown, 18 points. Travis Kelce, kind of weak out of him as well, 56 with a fumble lost. Zeke Elliott with a big game, 77 yards and a touchdown. He's got Leonard Fournette going tonight. So yeah, Liver Spotted Hands, who is leading the league with a 10-2 record, is going to move to 11-2 in an absolutely convincing fashion against Team Nighthawk. And then we go to Team Tighten Up versus Team Maldo JA. Similar to Liver Spotted Hands, Team Tighten Up is just going to absolutely crush Team Maldo JA this week. Final score of this matchup, 159.7 to 25.8 for Team Maldo JA. Team Tighten Up had Jalen Hurts. Big day out of him, 34 points, 3 touchdowns through the air, and a touchdown on the ground. Saquon Barkley, 63 and a touch. Jonathan Taylor, 82 yards, Davante Adams, who, as I mentioned last week, I bet on him to score a touchdown last week. He did not. And of course, because this is how the betting world works, he had two touchdowns this week. He complemented those two touchdowns with 177 yards on eight catches with 12 targets, 33 points. T. Higgins, 35 and a touchdown. He started Njoku, didn't play, but ultimately it just didn't matter. A.J. Dillon, 19.4 points. Big dad, him, 93 yards and a touch. Three catches, 26 yards. Ramondre Stevenson, 54 yards on the ground, 24 through the air. So yeah, team tighten up. We'll move to 9-4 on the year in convincing fashion. And similar to last week, I'm just not even going to talk about Jay's team because it just like simply doesn't matter. Then we had team Mike Honcho against Boats and Hoes. It's leaning heavily towards Boats and Hoes right now at 75%. Boats and Hoes had Lamar Jackson, which is shocking that he's going to get this win because Lamar Jackson left the game early, finishes 1 point, still TBD on his injury. Kind of unfortunate for team Boats and Hoes, but we'll see. DeAndre Swift, 19 points, big game out of him. Big game out of him, 62 and a touch. He's got Rashad White going tonight. Just Stephon Diggs, 92 and a touch for 18. A.J. Brown, massive game, 27.9. 119 and two touchdowns. Schultz, 33 yards. Ayuk, 46 yards. Palmer, 60 yards. And then Mike Honcho, he's got Tom Brady going tonight. He had Miles Sanders, 10 points. McCaffrey at 24 with 66 rush, 80 through the air and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill, absolutely massive game from Tyreek Hill. 146 and a touch, 9 catches, 25 points there. Cooper, somewhat disappointing, 40 yards. Kittle, disappointing, 22 yards. Tyler Lockett, big game out of him, 128 and a touch. Marvin Jones, disappointing, 17 yards. So, yeah, it's basically just going to come down to whether or not Tom Brady can absolutely pop off, which at this stage in his career, I don't think is possible because the Buccaneers are an awful football team right now. But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and predict Boats and Hoes will take this and move to 8-5 on the year. Next matchup is team The Gilded Lady against team Connor Mayette. The Gilded Lady took this one this week from Connor Mayette. He had Justin Herbert, 335 and a touch through the air. Cam Akers, big day out of him, two touchdowns, 60 yards. ETN, 6 points. Treylon Burks on the end zone. I think he left that game early. Yeah, he did. He left that game early, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully he's okay. Darius Slayton, 12 points, 90 yards. Hockenson, 33 yards. McKenzie, 44 yards. Samuel, 63 yards. Team Connor Miette, kind of an average week out of Josh Allen. Only 16 points from him. Decent game out of Montgomery, 14 points, 61 yards and a touch. Jeff Wilson, 1 yard, 1 carry for 3 yards. Not great. Metcalf, huge game, 127 and a touch. Claypool, 20 yards, fumble loss, 3 points. Dawson Knox, absolutely nothing. One target, 0 points. Jamal Williams salvaged a 35-yard rush day with a touchdown for 9.5 points. And then, unfortunately, Gus Edwards, 6 carries for 12 yards. So, yeah, Team Gilded Lady will take that one, and he'll move to 4-9 on the year. Last matchup, myself, Team KK, against Team Johnny Watts. Johnny Watts smoked me this week. He's projected to finish with 112, whereas I finish with 50 points. He had Dak Prescott go for 16. Pacheco, who I believe had a good game last week, back-to-back good games for Pacheco. He had 66 and a touch, finished with 15 points. Tony Pollard, big dad of him, 23, 91 and two touchdowns. He had Debo Samuel go for 9 points, 58 yards. He's got Mike Evans going tonight. Will Disley, 22 yards. Jahan Dotson had a touchdown. He's also got Olave going tonight. So yeah, Team Johnny Watts absolutely crushed me. Unfortunate. I moved to 8-5, but I'm pretty sure I'm still making the playoffs, so all good there. And yeah, that's the matchups for week 13. And to just wrap up the show here, we've got an exclusive interview with the first guest of the podcast. So here's that. And we've got our first guest of the podcast here, arguably the most important man in our league. We've got Commissioner Nate coming at us all the way from Ocean City, Maryland. Nate, what's going on?
Not much. How are you today, Kev?
Good. Just watching this Monday game between these two terrible teams, the Bucks and the Saints.
Yeah, a couple of powerhouses.
I know. It's going to be an ugly game. Yeah, so your first guest, don't really have much planned, just a few questions. All right, let's get into it. So we're on the Sleeper app for our Dynasty League.
Yeah.
What made you choose the Sleeper app for our league?
I mean, all the previous leagues we've been in have been either Yahoo or ESPN. Those are the only ones I've done in the past. And then Scott, who's in our league, I worked with him and he showed me the Sleeper app. He's been in multiple Dynasty leagues and I thought it was a pretty sleek app and seemed like definitely the go-to option for a Dynasty league. It seems a little more tailored to it than the other apps. So just kind of fell into place. What do you think of the app? You like it?
Yeah, it's definitely more in depth than like Yahoo or ESPN. And some of the updates are like actually a lot faster than those apps too. So, and it gives you more info.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I think we'll probably stick with it.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably have to stick with it. Be a lot of work to switch to something else, but happy with it so far.
Nice. And then, so yes, week 13, what are your thoughts on the first season so far?
I think it's going well. I mean, I've definitely had some fun. I'm kind of in the tanking stage, so I'm not really competing for a championship, so hasn't been the most fun for me. I'm looking more forward to the future than the present. But I mean, I think as far as how the league's flowing, it's going pretty good. The playoff hunt right now is not super exciting. I mean, we got six teams that are clearly going to make the playoffs and six teams that are clearly not going to make the playoffs. So not exciting right now, but I think once we hit playoffs, things are going to heat up a little bit. I mean, the top six teams are all pretty competitive, and I think any of them could come out on top. So excited to see what happens there.
Yeah, I'm in the top six, kind of fighting for five or six. Depends on the last couple games here. As we kind of wind down here to the off season, is there any new rules or anything being implemented for next season that you've got top of mind?
I put out the survey trying to, add some features to the league that are going to keep everybody entertained and engaged and, want to stay in the league. Some of them are just simple things like, keeping track of people's stats, championships, most wins, most points put up all time, that type of stuff. And then the biggest thing that we're trying to implement was getting rid of tanking. Beginning of the season, my proposition was to punish the losing team. So if you came in last place, you pay a penalty that goes into the prize pool for the beginning of next year. You come in second to last place, you pay a smaller price, but you still pay a price. And I think we went all the way up to seventh place. So basically, if you didn't make the playoffs, you were paying a fee, and that was to discourage tanking. I suggested a pretty high, steep price at the beginning, and co-commissioners kind of shot that down. So with that implemented...
I thought it was more than that, but
that's just me. I think my initial one, it was pretty outrageous though. Like last place, I had like paying $250 or something like that for coming in last place. And if we did have that steep of values, maybe it would have discouraged tanking, but our current levels did not discourage tanking. We got a couple people tanking right now because, I mean, obviously their strategy thinks that it'll pay off in the long run, which it definitely could. Some high caliber players coming out of college this year that are, could win you some championships in the upcoming years. So I guess understandable, but the rule we're putting in place will likely will pass, hasn't officially passed yet, but based off the votes is inverse optimal point system. So basically if you, whatever your optimal lineup is, will go into a total count at the end of the season. If you have the lowest total optimal lineup through the regular season, then you will get the first round pick. That will exclude the top three teams that finish in the money. So if you get first place, you'll end up with 12th pick. If you get second place, you'll end up with 11th pick. Third place will end up with 10th pick. And then the other positions will be put into draft order based on their total optimal lineup. And that basically, I mean, you can't put your best players on the bench and tank anymore because we're going to just put your optimal lineup in. So that'll basically force everyone to try every week to win, which hopefully will keep things a little more competitive and fun.
Yeah.
What do you think of that rule?
I like it because we can't have teams like Jay's where he just starts absolutely nobody every week. So. Yeah, and half the league is tanking, which I don't like personally, but it is what it is for now. So we're recording during this Monday game. I've had a commercial now for a while, so I don't know what's happening, but,
yeah, I'm on a commercial too.
Other than that, do you have any bets for week 13 that, hit or didn't hit?
Yeah, actually, I hit a decent one on the Lions. I put a three-leg parlay on, I think it was Goff, like over 220 yards. He put up like 300, and then I had the over on the game, which hit easily. And I had, it was DeAndre Swift over receiving yards, and all three of those hit. I won like $80 on a $20 bet. Nice. That felt pretty good. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say I was actually at that game, and
oh, were you?
It was the that crowd was like game. The crowd was quiet, like nobody knew how to react to the Lions winning.
So winning,
like, yeah, it was just like it was kind of funny, but yeah, that was a good game to be at.
Yeah, man, they slapped them.
Nice. Let's see what else I got here. Just other betting stuff. As of right now, from the top five Super Bowl odds teams, what team do you? What teams or matchups are you thinking the Super Bowl is going to be this year?
I mean, I put two Super Bowl bets down in the last 2 days. One I put down on Buffalo. I think I got them at plus 450. I think they're the best team in the league. I think they're pulling it out this year as long as Josh Allen stays healthy and Stephon Diggs stays healthy and they get Von Miller back for playoffs. With that being said, from the NFC, who they will match up with, I have no idea. I mean, Eagles look amazing. Dallas looks amazing. But I don't know. I just don't have any confidence in those teams. And I put a bet on the Lions to win the Super Bowl as well. But, I mean, I don't actually have faith that they will do that, let alone make the playoffs.
They're favored this week against Minnesota.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that might flip by the end of the week, but
yeah.
Opened up his favorites. Yeah, I think the Eagles are kind of frauds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dallas is probably the best team in the NFC right now. But
you think they're making it?
Yeah, I think they'll pull it together here the last few weeks. Anything on the board for week 14? Any early bets that you like that you're seeing?
I actually haven't looked much at it so far. Right before we got on stream here, I was just pulling up some of the games. I don't have the spreads in front of me, but just like looking at the games, but the Jets at the Bills. I mean, I assume the Bills are going to be favored heavy there, but I mean, I like the Bills going forward in every game from now on.
Yeah.
Especially at home. But other than that, I mean, Cowboys at Texans, that's going to be an outrageous spread. But I mean, Cowboys will probably cover. That's another one that's kind of sticking out to me. And then, I don't know, Titans at Jaguars. I feel like Titans, whatever I bet on them, they just do the opposite. I've never won a bet.
Whenever you think they're not going to win, they win. And then they just shit the bed when you think they're going to win.
They're not like explosive enough to run away from bad teams, but they're like, so they don't turn the ball over. They play good defense and they stick it out with the good teams.
Yeah. That's all we had. It's 3-0 Tampa right now. They're punting. It's a pretty boring game. We'll just call it there for the first guest of the podcast. If anybody's listening that wants to come on, just let me know and we'll get it set up. And thanks, Nate, for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye. See you, Kev.
And lastly, before we end the podcast, I'll just say if anyone wants to submit an ad read to me, just send it my way. You can either be a script and I can read it, or you can send me a recording of you reading it or someone else reading it. Doesn't really matter. If anyone wants to be a guest on the show, just get in contact with me and we'll get it set up. That'll be fun. So looking forward to having some extra guests on the show. And then finally, something I'm going to start doing is ending the show with a random sports quote. Today's quote: if the quarterback throws the ball into the end zone and the wide receiver catches it, it's a touchdown. John Madden.